Book 4. Chapter 1. - Death of Constans Caesar, occurrences which took place in Rome. 4 years after the Council of Sardica. 1. Constans was killed in Western Gaul. 2. Magnentius, who had plotted his murder, reduced the entire government of Constans under his own sway. In the meantime, Vetranio was proclaimed emperor at Smium by the Arian troops. Nepotian, the son of the late emperor's sister, gathered about him a body of gladiators, and wrangled for the imperial power, and ancient Rome had the greatest share of these evils. Nepotian, however, was put to death by the soldiers of Magnentius. 3. Constantius, finding himself the sole master of the empire, was proclaimed sole ruler, and hastened to depose the tyrants. In the meantime, Athanasius, having arrived in Alexandria, prepared to convene a synod of the Egyptian bishops, and had the enactments confirmed which had been passed at Sardica, and in Palestine, in his favor. Chapter 2. - Constantius again ejects Athanasius, and banishes those who represented the Homoousian doctrine. Death of Paul, bishop of Constantinople. Macedonius, Hy's second usurpation of the see, and Hy's evil deeds. The emperor, 4. Deceived by the calumnies of the heterodox, changed his mind, and, in opposition to the decrees of the Council of Sardica, exiled the bishops whom he had previously restored. Marcellus was again deposed, and Basil reacquired possession of the bishopric of Ancyra. Lucius was thrown into prison, and died there. Paul was condemned to perpetual banishment, and was conveyed to Cucusum, in Armenia, where he died. I have never, however, been able to ascertain whether or not he died a natural death. It is still reported that he was strangled by the adherents of Macedonius. 5. As soon as he was sent into exile, Macedonius seized the government of his church, and, being aided by several orders of monks whom he had incorporated at Constantinople, and by alliances with many of the neighboring bishops, he commenced, it is said, a persecution against those who held the sentiments of Paul. He ejected them, in the first place, from the church, and then compelled them to enter into communion with himself. Many perished from wounds received in the struggle, some were deprived of their possessions, some, of the rights of citizenship, and others are branded on the forehead with an iron instrument, in order that they might be stamped as infamous. The emperor was displeased when he heard of these transactions, and imputed the blame of them to Macedonius and his adherents. Chapter 3. - Martyrdom of the Holy Notaries. The persecution increased in violence. 6. And led to deeds of blood. Martyrius and Marcin were among those who were slain. They had lived in Paul's house. 7. And were delivered up by Macedonius to the governor, as having been guilty of the murder of Hermogenes, and of exciting the former sedition against him. Martyrius was a subdeacon, and Marcin a singer and a reader of Holy Scripture. Their tomb is famous, and is situated before the walls of Constantinople, as a memorial of the martyrs. It is placed in a house of prayer, which was commenced by John and completed by Sisinnius. These both afterwards presided over the church of Constantinople. For they who had been unworthily adjudged to have no part in the honors of martyrdom, were honored by God, because the very place where those conducted to death had been decapitated, and which previously was not approached on account of ghosts, was now purified, and those who were under the influence of demons were released from the disease, and many other notable miracles were wrought at the tomb. These are the particulars which should be stated concerning Martyrius and Marcin. If what I have related appears to be scarcely credible, it is easy to apply for further information to those who are more accurately acquainted with the circumstances, and perhaps far more wonderful things are related concerning them than those which I have detailed. Chapter 4. - Campaign of Constantius in Smium, and details concerning Vetranio and Magnentius. Gallus receives the title of Caesar, and is sent to the east. On the expulsion of Athanasius, which took place about this period, George persecuted, 1. All those throughout Egypt who refused to conform to his sentiments. The emperor marched into Aria, and entered Smium, whither Vetranio had repaired by appointment. The soldiers who had proclaimed him emperor suddenly changed their mind, and saluted Constantius as sole sovereign, and as Augustus, for both the emperor and his supporters, strove for this very action. Vatranio perceived that he was betrayed, and threw himself as a suppliant at the feet of Constantius. Constantius pitied him indeed, but stripped him of the imperial ornaments and purple, obliged him to return to private life, liberally provided for his wants out of the public treasury, and told him that it was more seemly to an old man to abstain from the cares of empire and to live in quietude. After terminating these arrangements in favor of Vatranio, Constantius sent a large army into Italy against Magnentius. He then conferred the title of Caesar on his cousin Gallus, and sent him into Syria to defend the provinces of the east. Chapter 5-Cyril directs the sacerdotal office after Maximus, and the largest form of the crosses, surpassing the sun in splendor, again appears in the heavens, and is visible during several days. At the time that Cyril administered the Church of Jerusalem after Maximus, the sign of the cross appeared in the heavens. It shone brilliantly, not with divergent rays like a comet, but with the concentration of a great deal of light, apparently dense and yet transparent. Its length was about 15 stadia from Calvary to the Mount of Olives, and its breadth was in proportion to its length. So extraordinary a phenomenon excited universal terror. Men, women, and children left their houses, the marketplace, or their respective employments, and ran to the church, where they sang hymns to Christ together, and voluntarily confessed their belief in God. The intelligence disturbed in no little measure our entire dominions, and this happened rapidly, for, as the custom was, there were travelers from every part of the world, so to speak, who were dwelling at Jerusalem for prayer, or to visit its places of interest. These were spectators of the sign, and divulged the facts to their friends at home. The emperor was made acquainted with the occurrence, partly by numerous reports concerning it which were then current, and partly by a letter from Cyril, to the bishop. It was said that this prodigy was a fulfillment of an ancient prophecy contained in the Holy Scriptures. It was the means of the conversion of many pagans and Jews to Christianity. Chapter 6-Fortinus, Bishop of Smium. His heresy, and the council convened at Smium in opposition thereto. The three formularies of faith. His agitator of empty ideas was refuted by Basil of Ancyra. After his deposition, Fortinus, although solicited, declined reconciliation. About this time, 3, Fortinus, who administered the Church of Smium, laid before the emperor, who was then staying at that city, a heresy which he had originated some time previously. His natural ease of utterance and powers of persuasion enabled him to lead many into his own way of thinking. He acknowledged that there was one God Almighty, by whose own word all things were created, but would not admit that the generation and existence of the Son was before all ages. On the contrary, he alleged that Christ derived his existence from Mary. As soon as this opinion was divulged, it excited the indignation of the Western and of the Eastern bishops, and they considered it in common as an innovation of each one's particular belief, for it was equally opposed by those who maintained the doctrines of the Nicene Council, and by those who favored the tenets of Arius. The emperor also regarded the heresy with aversion, and convened a council at Smium, where he was then residing. Of the Eastern bishops, George, who governed the Church of Alexandria, Basil, Bishop of Ancyra, and Mark, Bishop of Arethusa, were present at this council, and among the Western bishops were Valens, Bishop of Mercia, and Hosius the Confessor. This latter, who had attended the Council of Nicaea, was unwillingly a participant of this. He had not long previously been condemned to banishment through the machinations of the Arians. He was summoned to the Council of Smium by the command of the emperor, extorted by the Arians, who believed that their party would be strengthened if they could gain over, either by persuasion or force, a man held in universal admiration and esteem, as was Hosius. The period at which the council was convened at Smium was the year after the expiration of the consulate of Stius and Nigrinian, and during this year there were no consuls either in the east or the west, owing to the insurrections excited by the tyrants. Fortinus was deposed by this council, because he was accused of countenancing the errors of Sabius and Paul of Samosata, The council then proceeded to draw up three formularies of faith in addition to the previous confessions, of which one was written in Greek, and the others in Latin. But they did not agree with one another, nor with any other of the former expositions of doctrine, either in word or import. It is not said in the Greek formulary, 1, that the Son is consubstantial, or of like substance, with the Father, but it is there declared, that those who maintain that the Son had no commencement, or that he proceeded from an expansion of the substance of the Father, or that he is united to the Father without being subject to him, are excommunicated. In one of the Roman formularies, 2, it is forbidden to say, of the essence of the Godhead which the Romans call substance, that the Son is either consubstantial, or of like substance with the Father, as such statements do not occur in the Holy Scriptures, and are beyond the reach of the understanding and knowledge of men. It is said, that the Father must be recognized as superior to the Son in honor, in dignity, in divinity, and in the relationship suggested by his name of Father, and that it must be confessed that the Son, like all created beings, is subject to the Father, that the Father had no commencement, and that the generation of the Son is unknown to all save the Father. It is related, that when this formulary was completed, the bishops became aware of the errors it contained, and endeavored to withdraw it from the public, and to correct it, and that the emperor threatened to punish those who should retain or conceal any of the copies that had been made of it. But having been once published, no efforts were adequate to suppress it altogether. The third formulary, 3, is of the same import as the others. It prohibits the use of the term substance on account of the terms used in Latin, while the Greek term having been used with too much simplicity by the fathers, and having been a cause of offense to many of the unlearned multitude, because it was not to be found in the Scriptures, we have deemed it right totally to reject the use of it, and we would enjoin the omission of all mention of the term in allusion to the Godhead, for it is nowhere said in the Holy Scriptures, that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are of the same substance, where the word person is written. But we say, in conformity with the Holy Scriptures, that the Son is like unto the Father. Such was the decision arrived at in the presence of the emperor concerning the faith. Hosius at first refused to assent to it. Compulsion, however, was resorted to, and being extremely old, he sunk, as it is reported, beneath the blows that were inflicted on him, and yielded his consent and signature. After the deposition of Fatinus, the synod thought it expedient to try whether it were not somehow possible to persuade him to change his views. But when the bishop urged him, and promised to restore his bishopric if he would renounce his own dogma, and vote for their formulary, he would not acquiesce, but challenged them to a discussion. On the day appointed for this purpose, the bishops, therefore, assembled with the judges who had been appointed by the emperor to preside at their meetings, and who, in point of eloquence and dignity, held the first rank in the palace. Basil, bishop of Ancyra, was selected to commence the disputation against Fatinus. The conflict lasted a long time, on account of the numerous questions started and the answers given by each party, and which were immediately taken down in shorthand, but finally the victory declared itself in favor of Basil. Fatinus was condemned and banished, but did not cease on that account from enlarging his own dogma. He wrote and published many works in Greek and Latin, in which he endeavored to show that all opinions, except his own, were erroneous. I have now concluded all that I had to say concerning Fatinus and the heresy to which his name was affixed. Chapter 7 – Death of the Tyrants Magnentius and Silvius the Apostate. Sedition of the Jews in Palestine. Gallus Caesar is slain, on suspicion of revolution. In the meantime, 4, Magnentius made himself master of ancient Rome, and put numbers of the senators, and of the people, to death. Hearing that the troops of Constantius were approaching, he retired into Gaul, and here the two parties had frequent encounters, in which sometimes the one and sometimes the other was victorious. At length, however, Magnentius was defeated, and fled to Mursa, which is the fortress of this Gaul, and when he saw that his soldiers were dispirited because they had been defeated, he stood on an elevated spot and endeavored to revive their courage. But, although they addressed Magnentius with the acclamations usually paid to emperors, and were ready to shout at his public appearance. They secretly and without premeditation shouted for Constantius as emperor in place of Magnentius. Magnentius, concluding from this circumstance, that he was not destined by God to hold the reins of empire, endeavored to retreat from the fortress to some distant place, but he was pursued by the troops of Constantius, and being overtaken at a spot called Mount Silicus, he escaped alone from the encounter, and fled to Lugduna. On his arrival there, he slew his own mother and his brother, whom he had named Caesar, and lastly, he killed himself. One, not long after, Decentius, another of his brothers, put an end to his own existence. Still the public tumults were not quelled, for not long after, Silvanus assumed the supreme authority in Gaul, but he was put to death immediately by the generals of Constantius. The Jews of Dioscus Aaron also overran Palestine and the neighboring territories. They took up arms with the design of shaking off the Roman yoke. 2. On hearing of their insurrection, Gallus Caesar, who was then at Antioch, sent troops against them, defeated them, and destroyed Dioscus Ara. Gallus, intoxicated with success, could not bear his prosperity, but aspired to the supreme power, and he slew Magnus, the quaestor, and Domitian, the prefect of the East, because they apprised the emperor of his innovations. The anger of Constantius was excited, and he summoned him to his presence. Gallus did not dare to refuse obedience, and set out on his journey. When, however, he reached the island Ilovena, he was killed by the emperor's order. This event occurred in the third year of his consulate, and the seventh of Constantius. 3. Chapter 8 – Arrival of Constantius at Rome. A council held in Italy. Account of what happened to Athanasius the Great through the machinations of the Arians. On the death of the tyrants, 4, Constantius anticipated the restoration of peace and cessation of tumults, and quelled Smium in order to return to ancient Rome, and to enjoy the honor of a triumph after his victory over the tyrants. He likewise intended to bring the eastern and the western bishops, if possible, to one mind concerning doctrine, by convening a council in Italy. Julius died about this period, after having governed the Church of Rome during 25 years, 5, and Liberius succeeded him. Those who were opposed to the doctrines of the Nicene Council thought this a favorable opportunity to calumniate the bishops whom they had deposed, and to procure rejection from the church as abettors of false doctrine, and as disturbers of the public peace, and to accuse them of having sought, during the life of Constans, to excite a misunderstanding between the emperors. And it was true, as we related above, 6, that Constans menaced his brother with war unless he would consent to receive the Orthodox bishops. Their efforts were principally directed against Athanasius, towards whom they entertained so great an aversion that, even when he was protected by Constans, and enjoyed the friendship of Constantius, they could not conceal their enmity. Narcissus, bishop of Cilicia, Theodore, bishop of Thrace, Eugenius, bishop of Nicaea, Patrophilus, bishop of Scythopolis, Menophants, bishop of Ephesus, and other bishops, to the number of 30, assembled themselves in Antioch, 7. And wrote a letter to all the bishops of every region, in which they stated that Athanasius had returned to his bishopric in violation of the rules of the church, that he had not justified himself in any council, and that he was only supported by some of his own faction, and they exhorted them not to hold communion with him, nor to write to him, but to enter into communion with George, who had been ordained to succeed him. Athanasius only contemned these proceedings, but he was about to undergo greater trials than any he had yet experienced. Immediately on the death of Magnentius, and as soon as Constantius found himself sole master of the Roman Empire, he directed all his efforts to induce the bishops of the West to admit that the Son is of like substance with the Father. In carrying out this scheme, however, he did not, in the first place, resort to compulsion, but endeavored by persuasion to obtain the concurrence of the other bishops in the decrees of the eastern bishops against Athanasius, for he thought that if he could bring them to be of one mind on this point, it would be easy for him to regulate aright the affairs connected with religion. Chapter 9, Dash Council of Milan. Flight of Athanasius. The Emperor, 1, was extremely urgent to convene a council in Milan, yet few of the eastern bishops repaired thither. Some, it appears, excused themselves from attendance under the plea of illness, others, on account of the length and difficulties of the journey. There were, however, upwards of 300 of the western bishops at the council. The eastern bishops insisted that Athanasius should be condemned to banishment, and expelled from Alexandria, and the others, either from fear, fraud, or ignorance, assented to the measure. Dionysius, bishop of Alba, the metropolis of Italy, Eusebius, bishop of Vercella in Liguria, Paulinus, bishop of Treves, Rodanus, II, and Lucifer, were the only bishops who protested against this decision, and they declared that Athanasius ought not to be condemned on such slight pretexts, and that the evil would not cease with his condemnation, but that those who supported the orthodox doctrines concerning the Godhead would be forthwith subjected to a plot. They represented that the whole measure was a scheme concerted by the emperor and the Arians with the view of suppressing the Nicene faith. Their boldness was punished by an edict of immediate banishment, and Hilary was exiled with them. The result too plainly showed for what purpose the Council of Milan had been convened. For the councils which were held shortly after at Ariminum and Seleucia were evidently designed to change the doctrines established by the Nicene Council, as I shall directly show. Athanasius, being apprised that plots had been formed against him at court, deemed it prudent not to repair to the emperor himself, as he knew that his life would be thereby endangered, nor did he think that it would be of any avail. He, however, selected 5 of the Egyptian bishops, among whom was Serapion, bishop of Thamis, a prelate distinguished by the wonderful sanctity of his life and the power of his eloquence, and sent them with 3 presbyters of the church to the emperor, who was then in the west. They were directed to attempt, if possible, to conciliate the emperor, to reply, if requisite, to the calumnies of the hostile party, and to take such measures as they deemed most advisable for the welfare of the church and himself. Shortly after they had embarked on their voyage, Athanasius received some letters from the emperor, summoning him to the palace. Athanasius and all the people of the church were greatly troubled at this command, for they considered that no safety could be enjoyed when acting either in obedience or in disobedience to an emperor of heterodox sentiments. It was, however, determined that he should remain at Alexandria, and the bearer of the letters quitted the city without having effected anything. The following summer, another messenger from the emperor arrived with the governors of the provinces, and he was charged to urge the departure of Athanasius from the city, and to act with hostility against the clergy. When he perceived, however, that the people of the church were full of courage, and ready to take up arms, he also departed from the city without accomplishing his mission. Not long after, troops, called the Roman legions, which were quartered in Egypt and Libya, marched into Alexandria. As it was reported that Athanasius was concealed in the church known by the name Theanas, the commander of the troops, and Hilary, 3, whom the emperor had again entrusted with the transaction of this affair, caused the doors of the church to be burst open, and thus effected their entrance, but they did not find Athanasius within the walls, although they sought for him everywhere. It is said that he escaped this and many other perils by the divine interposition, and that God had disclosed this previously. Directly as he went out, the soldiers took the doors of the church, and were within a little of seizing him. Dash.